And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning and welcome to my show, The Final Point. I hope everyone's doing well this morning. We have a few things to get to. Few things. I wouldn't say a lot of things, but a few things. And there's some interesting things. Let's start with last night's game, for example. Last night's game. Well, congratulations to Seattle. They won by a missed field goal. But Russell Wilson looked sharp last night. Kept his team in there. Lockett made a tough catch. DK Metcalf. They looked really good. Really good. They did well. But the Rams, what happened? The Rams have a top eight defense. Top eight defense. They don't have a top 10. No, I'm sorry. The Rams have a top eight offense. But they don't have a top rated defense, which explains why the game went the game. It explains why the game went the way it did. Makes perfect sense. Disappointing loss. You smoked the field goal inside the 20. You smoked the field goal inside the 20. I didn't quite understand that. I mean, as a kicker, you have one job. You don't tackle. You don't hit. You don't throw the ball. You don't catch. You do nothing but kick. And you smoke the field goal. Game winning. I would go home, back to LA, pissed off. I would make that damn kicker sit in the back. No, I'm sorry, in the front of the plane. You can't sit back here with us, man. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm just saying how mad I would be. But nevertheless, Seattle won that fair and square. Interesting. Now, the NFL, they got a lot of key games this week. I know I spoke about that in my last two podcasts here. There's an interesting stat line that I wanted to kind of talk about here. And that is the Buffalo Bills. I can't believe it. They have a top two defense. And they have a top eight offense. So they're rated number eight on offense and number two on defense. On paper, they look good. I believe they have Tennessee this week, so we're going to find out how good Buffalo is. But nevertheless, it's a much improved team. Nevertheless, I am impressed right now. 49ers. The 49ers have the number three defense, and they have the number four offense, which is very, very surprising to me. If you look at it, the Ravens have the number one offense in the league right now. If you look at Dallas has the number three offense, but the number seven defense. Now, I got to speak on that for a moment. You know, Dallas having the number seven offense, that's going to be tested on Sunday. That's going to be tested against Green Bay. And if we cannot stop Green Bay from scoring, us being rated number seven in the league on defense, what does that mean? What does that mean for Dallas? I don't think it means a whole hell of a lot if we can't stop anybody on defense, but we're rated number seven. Makes no sense to me. Just saying. That's going to be an interesting game. Kansas City has the number two offense in the league, for those that don't know. Kansas City, we know as long as Mahomes is there and he's playing well, we know they're going to turn it up. They're gonna kick butt. We know that. There's no doubt about that. It's just unanimous. They're gonna be one of the top teams, you know, out there. So with the Rams, going back to the Rams and Seahawks, the final score, 29-30. You lose by 1 point. And if you go back to the first half, it was 13-14 in the first half. That game was so close within the first half that it was unbelievable. And for me, they lost 16. Let's see. So it was basically they came back and outscored the Rams in the fourth quarter 9-3. 9-3 in the fourth quarter for them to lose 29-30. Shout out to Everett, the tight end for the Rams. He had 7 catches for 136 yards. Todd Gurley had 15 carries, 51 yards, 2 touchdowns. Carson had 27 carries for 118 yards. And Russell Wilson went 17 of 23 for 268 yards, 4 touchdowns. That is a nice evening for sure. And of course, Jared Goff had 49 attempts, completed 29 passes for 395 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. To me, not bad in yardage, but maybe an argument in performance. I didn't like that. Didn't like that at all. Not at all. Another funny stat for the Rams. Cooper Kupp had 9 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown. So Everett had 7 catches for 136 yards, but no touchdown. That's interesting. Very interesting. Let's move on over to Seattle. Carson, 27 carries for 118 yards, no touchdown. Okay. Tyler Lockett had 4 catches for 51 yards, 1 touchdown. DK Metcalf, 2 catches, 44 yards, 1 touchdown. Disley, the tight end, 4 catches, 81 yards, no touchdown. D. Moore, 1 catch, 10 yards, 1 touchdown. Carson, 1 catch, 5 yards, 1 touchdown. And by the way, I may add that Carson almost dropped it in the end zone. That's the touchdown he almost dropped in the end zone. Yeah, so offensively, that's where we stand in that game. So that's a nail biter there. Now, I'm going to go through each and every game briefly and give you my picks for the week. Here we go. Bears and Raiders. Okay, now Bears and Raiders, this is a tough one. But I believe the Bears are going to take care of business. I believe Trubisky is out, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Trubisky is doubtful. Akeem Hicks is questionable. Tyler Gabriel's out. They got some questionables also for the Raiders. Dwayne Harris, J.J. Nelson, Tyrell Williams, their best receiver. Clint Farrell, which is their number one pick, he's questionable for this week's game. So they're a little beat up there. Right now, the Raiders need to figure it out. Because the Raiders only... They're averaging an all-time low of 19 points a game. 19 points per game. In the last, I believe, 4 games, they've only averaged 19 points a game. But when they score 19, they're giving up 25. Chicago is only giving up 11 points. So Chicago gives up less on defense. They give up less points between the fact that the Raiders give up more on offense and more on defense. The Raiders are in trouble. I'm telling you that right now. From a stat standpoint. I do take under consideration that sometimes, you know, teams, they show up. And if the Raiders show up, that'd be interesting. Very interesting. So my pick for that game is I'm going to go with the Bears, obviously. Because I believe that this is going to be a game that they build on going into the next few games as far as confidence-wise. So I think the Bears take care of business here. Packers and Cowboys. I know I've spoken about this in my last podcast. I want to make a note here that Green Bay has a few... They have a few injuries here. They got Devontae Adams, who may not play. Jamal Williams, the running back, who may not play. Will Redmond, their safety, may not play. Montavious Adams, defensive tackle, may not play. Orion Burks, linebacker, may not play. So, going into this game, Green Bay is not healthy. They are a little bit banged up a little bit. I don't know how much of an excuse that is. I'm not saying it is an excuse because I've seen Dallas lose anyway. So, I don't know how much of an excuse that is. With Devontae Adams, I don't know how much of an impact he's going to make anyway because we lost to their tight ends. So, I don't know. But I believe Dallas is going to take care of business. We do get Collins back. Zach Martin is questionable. Tyron Smith is out. We get Gallup back and DeMarcus Lawrence. So we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be pretty strong. And let's get down to business here. The Dallas Cowboys have only given up 14 points per game. But Green Bay's only given up 17. Which is not that far away from each other. Maybe 3 points or so. Dallas puts up about 25 points a game. But Green Bay only puts up 21 a game. So this is interesting because they're not that far away. Statistically, they're not that far away. But I have to look at it this way. When you're rushing... And you only have 86, you're only rushing for 86 yards in the last four games. That bothers me. Because I think Green Bay has a really good running attack there. They got two really good running backs over there. So if you're putting up 21 points a game, but you're only rushing for 86 yards, that bothers me. When you look at Dallas, Dallas is averaging almost 145 yards per game. They're passing for 285, but Green Bay's passing for 267 yards. So, yards allowed, they're right there as far as, you know, Green Bay at 350 and Dallas at 338. So, they're right there. It's going to be a really good game. I believe it's going to be a close game. But I'm going to go with my Dallas Cowboys. I think this year, Dallas, again, like I said before, I think Dallas is going to take care of business. Dallas is going to take care of business. I believe so. Arizona Cardinals and Bengals. You know what? I don't even know if this game is even worth watching, to be honest. I think this game is I don't know. This game is not even worth watching at all. Yeah, I mean, Arizona got some injuries. So does the Bengals. The Bengals are just whooped, man. Yeah, same thing with the Bengals. Bengals are averaging about 14 points per game, but they're giving up 27. So their defense is really, really horrible. Same thing with the Cardinals. This is a toss-up. I'm going to go with the Bengals. And if I lose, oh well. Buffalo and Tennessee, just as I talked in my opening show here, Buffalo has a top two defense, and they also have a top eight offense. I'm going to go with Buffalo for sure, but a lot of people are saying that Tennessee, 74% of the people on ESPN think Tennessee is going to win. How? When they're not even in the top 10 categories. So basically what that tells me is that 74% of the people think it's a fluke that Buffalo is going to win this week. 74%. That's what that's telling me. It's not telling me anything else. It's not telling me anything else. How are they going to lose? How are they going to win when you got Tennessee? Tennessee gave up 15 points per game. They're averaging 22 a game, which is not that far apart. This is going to be a really good game because defensively, both teams have only given up 15 points a game. Both teams. So that's 15.8 versus 15.5. So you're looking at maybe 0.3 of a point between both teams defensively. Not bad. I'm going to go with Buffalo. Like I said, it's hard for me to overlook the fact that they're in both top 10 categories on offense and defense. I'm going to go with Buffalo this week. Saints and Buccaneers. By the way, the Bucs look really good. 59% of the people saying New Orleans is going to win versus 40% of the people saying Tampa Bay is going to win. So right now, Tampa Bay's hot. Tampa Bay is very, very hot right now. Tampa Bay, the problem with Tampa Bay is that Tampa Bay gives up just as much as they prevent on the scoreboard. So they're giving up 29 points a game, but then they're scoring 30 points a game. So you're giving up just as much as you're scoring. And that's the same thing with New Orleans. New Orleans has given up more than they've scored all year. But Dallas lost to them 10-12. I don't understand that logic too much either. That logic bothers me. But anyway, nevertheless, looking at everything, I'm going to go with New Orleans. I at home, I think New Orleans, it's a must win for them at home. I like New Orleans in this game. Giants and Vikings. 71% of the people think Minnesota's going to beat the Giants. 28% of the people feel it's an upset. They're going to defeat the Vikings. Well, is that true? Now they're saying Wayne Gillum is questionable, and then Saquon Barkley's been out a few games. I saw him practice. Looks pretty good. Right now, the Giants are giving up just as much on defense than they score. I'm going to go with the Vikings. The Vikings are averaging about 21 points per game, and they're only giving up 15.8 per game. So I think I'm going to go with the Vikings here. Jets and Eagles. I mean, it's unanimous. I'm going to go with the Eagles. Rams and Steelers. I'm going to go with the Rams. I mean, I'm sorry, with the Ravens. The Ravens, they have the best offense in the league. How can you not go with them? How can you not go with them? Patriots and Redskins. We know who I'm going with, the Patriots. Falcons and Texans, we're going to go with the Falcons. I believe the Falcons are going to take care of business. However, key stat, 64% of the people feel it's an upset that Houston's going to take care of business at home in Houston. Interesting. Broncos and Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to take care of business. I think the Broncos are just horrible. They're a horrible football team to look at. Although 35% of the people think it's an upset. Interesting. Colts and the Chiefs. That's your Sunday night game this week. KC, 80% of the people think KC is going to get the job done. 18% of the people think it's an upset. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. And for your Monday night game, Browns versus 49ers. I like the 49ers. I think 49ers are going to take care of business at home on Monday night. Although 72% of the people think the same way, 27% of the people think it's an upset. So those are my picks there as far as the NFL this week. College football, let's get to that. Tonight, UCF versus Cincinnati. You can see that on ESPN at 5 o'clock. They're giving Cincinnati 3.5 on the spread on that. I'm going to take UCF. I think UCF is going to take care of business. They're going to get the job done. Michigan State and Ohio State. Now, this is interesting, ladies and gentlemen, because Michigan State has a top 7 defense. Ohio State has a top 2 defense. That's going to be interesting. And Ohio State has a top 8 offense. I'm going to take Ohio State to win the game. It could be a close game just because of how good they are on defense, which is Michigan State. Michigan State is rated the number 25 team in the country. Interesting game. LSU and Utah State. You're probably wondering, well, what's so great about Utah State? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. What's great about Utah State is that they're a top 10 offense versus LSU's top 3 offense as well. That's going to be a very good game, although I think LSU is going to, you know, take care of business. But on the spread, they're giving Utah State 26.5 on the spread for those that are betting. Iowa and Michigan. I'm going to take Iowa. Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. I'm going to take Oklahoma State. Auburn and Florida. I'm going to take Florida over Auburn. I think it's going to be an upset there. Notre Dame and Bowling Green, I'm going to take Notre Dame. Texas, West Virginia, I'm going to take Texas. Georgia versus Tennessee, I'm going to take Georgia. SMU versus Tulsa, I'm taking SMU. Cal versus Oregon, I'm going to take Oregon. Washington versus Stanford, I'm taking Washington. And Boise versus UNLV, we know who I'm going with, and that is Boise. And that's your top 25 games for this week. Now, NBA basketball. Right now, at halftime, Kings versus Pacers. And you can see that live on the NBA channel. The score right now is 59-72. Let me give you guys a quick little stat here. Right now, Sabonis has played 13 minutes, 4 of 8 shooting, at 8 points. TJ Warren, 15 minutes, 3 of 6 shooting, 6 points. Miles Turner, 14 minutes, 3 of 5, 7 rebounds, 6 points. That's not bad at all for 14 minutes of work. Michael Brogdon, I believe his name is, Brogdon, he came over from the Milwaukee Bucks. He's played 14 minutes, 3 of 5. He has 5 assists, 7 points. And Jeremy Lamb, 15 minutes, 4 of 4, 2 assists, 12 points. He's hot right now. And let's look at the Sacramento Kings. The starters were Bagley, Barnes, Damon, Fox, and Buddy Hield. And right now, Buddy Hield, 13 minutes, 4 of 8 shooting, 4 rebounds, 10 points. De'Aaron Fox, 13 points, 4 of 5, 3 assists, 11 points. Deadman had 12 minutes. He played 12 minutes. 2 rebounds and 3 points. And Harrison Barnes, 15 points, 2 of 2, 10 points in 15 minutes. Bagley, 12 minutes, 3 of 5, 6 points. They're getting a lot from their bench. Trevor Ariza has 2 assists, 5 points. Corey Joseph, 8 minutes. 2 assists, 2 points. And my guy, Bogdanovich, had 12 minutes, 4 of 5, 4 assists, 11 points off the bench. That's they're playing well right now. 59-72 is the score at halftime. You can see the Nets game today at 4:30 on NBA TV. They're playing Franca, which is overseas team. You can see that game. And then tomorrow's games, I just want to let everybody know about tomorrow's games. Kings and Pacers, they're going to play again at 6:30 a.m. The Lakers versus the Warriors, they're going to be live at the Chase Center, 5 o'clock on TNT. Check that game out. I will be checking that game out for sure. Magics and Spurs, 5:30. And the 36ers versus the Jazz, I believe that's a D-League team, they're going to play at 6 o'clock. So you got a little bit of NBA for you. You got a little bit of NBA. Now, you have a lot going on in the NBA with a lot of the free agents. And I know I kind of discussed this last week. I just didn't discuss it with the podcast. But a lot of people keep talking about Kevin Durant and you know, Kyrie's story as to why he left and all this other kind of stuff. I'm just going to put this to bed here. I was just talking with somebody last week about it. And their feeling was, we understand you wanted to move on. Great. But why do you have to talk so bad about the organization? The organization you wanted to join to help win the championship. Well, I think that's true to some degree. But then again, I think it's wrong. I believe that Draymond Green screwed it up. I think when you're a top two player in the league, how do you tell the top two player in the league we were already winning championships before you got here? But you flew to the Hamptons to get him when Boston had him. Boston had him. It was clear cut. You guys flew and sold it to him, and he just and you guys added Jerry West to it. Jerry West sealed the deal. And he became a Warrior. Then, now you're saying something different. I don't think it has anything to do with Draymond. I don't think it has anything to do with what he's saying right now. I think it has everything to do with Bob Myers. Bob Myers made a mistake. And instead of Bob Myers coming out and saying, hey, I made a mistake, I don't blame Kevin Durant for leaving. I don't. I tell you what my decision would have been I would have held Kevin Durant out and said, look, you, as a player, you're important to me. Your health is important to me. I'd rather take a loss of the NBA championship knowing, and I would have did the same thing with Klay Thompson. And some say, well, you can't win without Klay Thompson. And they're absolutely right. You can't. However, I'd rather have Klay Thompson in training camp. Right now, healthy, ready to go. Let's win the championship. Same thing with Durant. Because we all know, had Durant stayed, they're guaranteed to get to the championship every single year, no matter what happens. Now, that's a fact. Because ever since he's joined the team, they've been in the finals. That's a fact. That's a fact. However, he's not there anymore. And I believe it has a lot to do with the way the organization treated his injury. Period. I mean, if I could keep Kevin Durant for one more year, then what's one more year versus saying, hey, I'm going to lose the finals this year, but I can't get back next year. I didn't think that made a whole lot of sense. I'm putting my GM cap on here. I'm putting my GM cap on here. You got the fan base. The fans are going to support you regardless of whatever your decision is. So I'm just trying to figure it out. And then you know Klay Thompson was hurt with a hamstring injury, right? But you play him anyway. So guess what? He tore his ACL. Now he's done. So you probably won't get him back until before the All-Star break or after the All-Star break now. So now you got Curry and Draymond Green and a young rookie basketball team. I will tell you that I know for a fact this is not what Bob Myers envisioned. I know that. This is not what they thought as an organization, nor did Steve Kerr think this as a team. I'll tell you that. And I feel bad for Stephen A. Smith because the New York Knicks have got to be one of the dumbest franchises in basketball today. How do you tell a player you're not going to sign them until they have a full medical report of their injury? Who cares? You have Kevin Durant, a top two player. And guess what? The Knicks are going to find out why they should have signed him in the offseason, whether he could play or not, because he's going to tear it up for Brooklyn next year. You watch. They're going to be crying. They're going to be crying. I know I would. I know I would. That's for sure. That's for sure. But going back to the Golden State issue,
I don't know if I would have dealt with it in the way that Kevin Durant did, as far as, you know, saying little things here and there as far as the organization. But if it wasn't for Golden State, in fact and true, Kevin Durant would not be a champion right now. That's a fact. That is a fact. I'll tell you that. As much as I want to argue, it's a fact. You can't argue with the facts. That's just, I mean, the bottom line. But I'll tell you this right now. Kevin Durant is going to tear it up for Brooklyn. Brooklyn made a great investment. Brooklyn has a really good young team. And without Kyrie and without Kevin Durant, let me add this point too. Without both those top players, they were a 7 seed in the Eastern Conference. So with Kyrie, I'd say they're probably a 5 seed. And then with Kevin Durant, they're probably a top 3, top 2 seed easy. Potentially, arguably, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, for sure. There's no doubt about that. So I just wanted to touch on that. I believe the organization just did not take care of Kevin Durant, in my personal opinion. Do I think the Warriors are going to get a playoff spot? Absolutely. Do I think they're going to get to the finals? No, I do not. I do not. Because I think the West is too stacked. And had they kept the same team intact that they had last year, oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. But I just don't think they're going to get back this year. Now, can they? Hey, it's always a possibility. It's always a possibility. But I just think they're going to run into some tough stretches. And I think this is going to be the year where Curry, this is going to be a tough year for Curry. This is going to be a tough year for Curry. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a very, very tough year for Curry. I think Curry's going to experience a very, very tough season. By far, he is the best shooter that this league has seen, for sure. Is he the best shooter ever? I can't give him that. Because, and the reason why I say that is because there's a platform that someone gave Curry in order for Curry to do that. So when you say you're the best ever, that's hard. That's hard for me. Because then now you're taken away from some of the great shooters that opened the door for Stephen Curry. So it's hard for me to give Curry that. I mean, in this league, as of right now, he's the best shooter we've seen. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I just wanted to put that to rest also. So I think the Warriors have a tough task. If they get to the finals again without Kevin Durant and they take care of business, that would be an unprecedented season. It would be a remarkable year, for sure. But I don't think so. Do I think the Lakers will win the NBA title? Yes, I do. For this one reason. If they get the chemistry down, if they stay healthy, somebody's in trouble. The Clippers are going to be right there. We know we're going to have to go through the Clippers. Clippers are going to be right there. I'm not taking nothing away from the Clippers. Clippers are going to be tough. Same thing with Portland. I think Portland's going to be tough. I believe the Jazz are going to be tough. I believe Denver's going to be tough. I believe the whole Western Conference is going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. That's for sure. We are going to be challenged by the best that the Western Conference has to offer, for sure. Houston as well. We know that. We know that. Now I want to talk baseball really, really quick before you know, this segment ends. Let's talk about yesterday. The Dodgers shut out the Nationals in game one of the National League Division Series. They lead 1-0. Dodgers won 6-0. The Braves were winning the last time I checked, but I believe that the Cardinals came back and out and had, I guess they scored 4 unanswered runs against the Braves. The Cardinals win 7-6 in the National League Division Series Game 1 in St. Louis. In Atlanta. And St. Louis leads 1-0. Today's games. At 6:37 West Coast time,
the Nationals will take on the Dodgers in Game 2 of the National League Division Series. Tampa Bay Devil Rays will play this morning against the Astros Game 1. That's going to be a tough game, but I think Astros are going to take care of business in this one. You can see that game on Fox Sports 1 at 11:05 this morning. At 1 o'clock this afternoon, you can see the Cardinals take on the Braves for Game 2 of the National League Division Series. Game 2, again, St. Louis leads 1-0. And you can see that game on TBS. Also, you got the Twins versus the Yankees. Game 1 of the American League Division Series, Game 1. 4:07 is the start on the MLB Network. That's going to be a good game. Both teams, I might add, has won over 100 games this season. The Twins, they're scary right now. So they could give the Yankees a run for their money. So a lot of baseball on this morning. Check that out. Tune in Monday morning, 8 a.m., as I said before. I'm going to come to you guys Monday through Friday. Happy Friday. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you on Monday. And check out the Lakers and Warriors. That game is actually going to be interesting because we get to see King James and the new assembled Lakers. So tune into that game. Also, Triple G fights Saturday, I believe at 6, against a guy's name I cannot pronounce at the moment. That should be a good fight. Happy Friday, and thank you for listening.